Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Buckle up, footy fans. Triple M rocks the NRL grand final.
3 hours till kickoff. Not getting enough Triple M footy? Or did you miss something and need to go back and have another listen? Get the Triple M NRL podcast. It's available right now on the Triple M NRL app.
For McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
Ryan Girdler, Nathan Brown, Tony Squires, and we are joined by Brent Reed. Reedy, g'day,
hey,
guys.
How good to be here.
Isn't it good? We made it. Final day, ANZ Stadium. Yeah. Looking at picture, obviously, a bit of rain, quite cool out there, but not affecting play in the NRLW game as we speak. You've got a little bit of info in terms of team news. We've already spoken earlier about Brent Naden with the idea that he was not named in the side or has been taken out. What's the story?
Well, a lot of suggestions he is in the side. So there's a bit of ducks and drakes.
As in the 17?
In the 17. So obviously there was a bit of speculation earlier that he wouldn't be in the 17, but the latest suggestion is that he is in the 17. Yes. So if Ivan's playing mind games, he's doing a pretty good job with the media at least.
Yeah. Well, because it just seems he was in the 17 last week, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't get on at all.
No, he was on the bench last week and didn't play, yeah.
It seems slightly worrying, don't you think, if that's the scenario?
Well, he was on the bench last week, wasn't he, Brent? Yeah. He did play on the bench last week. So if he was on the bench, I mean, the one thing Penrith have, you know, with the number of those players, you know, Capewell can play centre, he's played wing, he can play edge back row, play anywhere. And Tyrone May can play 5-8 hooker, lock, he can play anywhere, Tyrone May as well. So he's just a good footy player, isn't he? So he's, you know, you could make a case for why Ivan might want Brent Naden there. If they did lose a winger or a fullback, he's a classic cover because it's probably the one position that all those blokes can't cover. And, you know, I'd be pretty confident that Nicho Hynes will be on the bench for Melbourne to offer the same sort of cover, you know, because with the head knocks, I think any time a side can actually have a genuine sort of that type of bloke on the bench you can play wing sort of fullback and cover lots of spots. You know, there's a case if you've got enough energy in your forward pack. Yeah, that versatility, it's invaluable because at the end of the day, the player and the coach don't make the decision if Josh Mansell's got to come off with a head knock. The actual NRL make the decision for you at the end of the day.
And you would also imagine that if May was to start and he did go on the bench and something happened to an Api Korosau and they didn't carry Kenny, well, then you could put May into dummy half and then put Naden into the centres anyway. So they tick a few boxes there if need be. Nothing happens to Api. Yeah. Mitch Kenny did a great job there last week, but there are other options.
It's, what, an hour and a half before they officially have to name that side, Reed? Is it an hour before kickoff?
It's an hour before kickoff.
I'm going to do later, Reedy, and if Brent Naden's not on the bench, your name's going to be mud. All right?
Yeah. You won't need a second invitation to give it to me, will you,
Brandy? Oh, straight on to you, Reedy.
I'm looking forward to you being a coach again. Press conferences next year. I'll remember this.
Stuck into me, Reedy.
Yeah, I'll remember this.
Will this relationship change at all once he's back in the coach?
Reedy's a nice guy. He's easy to get back, Reedy.
No, well, it depends if he's winning or not, won't it? To how friendly it'll be.
Exactly. What are you expecting? What are you looking forward to, Reedy, this evening?
I'm expecting Melbourne to win, and if that's the case, I'm sort of looking forward to Cameron Smith and see how he handles full time and whether we see him get serenaded. And, you know, we obviously saw last week he get chaired off at Suncorp, so I'm just looking forward to seeing how he goes and what could be his last game. I mean, I did a story this week. It was 3,500 words of jibber, but, you know, he's a great story, Cam, you know, for a guy who didn't play hooker really till he was 15, 16, couldn't make a state team, I think at under 16s, couldn't make the state team, and now he's arguably the greatest player we've ever seen. He's a great story.
It is an amazing story and a part of history, if that's indeed what happens this evening, that does pull up.
Do you think, though, Tane and Reedy, do you think the fact that if Smith is going to retire, the fact he hasn't announced it and he doesn't want to go with any fanfare, do you think if they won tonight, he's likely just to go and enjoy the few days with his teammates and his club and then in a week's time just announce that he's retiring? Or do you think he'll actually come out today? Because it would take the gloss off a lot of the other players enjoying their first ever grand final.
Oh, I'd be surprised if he did it tonight.
So would I.
I think he'd do it in a week or two.
Yeah, so.
You obviously work with him down in Melbourne, Brownis. You'd know him reasonably well, right?
I don't know him great, but I just noticed when Bellyache put the word on him a couple of weeks ago about giving him a great send-off, and he goes, I don't need a send-off.
Yeah.
So that sort of made me feel that if he's going to announce his retirement, that he wouldn't do it after tonight if they won the game, because he'd want all his teammates to enjoy and get the accolades they probably all deserve.
I get the feeling that's one of the great misnomers with him, right? I think people think the external perception of him to an extent is he's a bit selfish. But it sounds like in the team environment, he's very selfless.
Yep.
When you talk to people about him, I mean, it's never about in a team environment. It's not about Cameron. Externally, I think there's sort of been agenda-driven that maybe he's a bloke who's in it for himself and he's a selfish footballer. But I don't think you can play 430 games and be a selfish
footballer. If you watch him play, though, the best skills he has is he makes other people look good as opposed to himself look good. So that's unselfish. And a lot of the things he does defensively when he doesn't have the ball are effort areas which selfish people just don't do.
I've made the effort to come out here. I want him to say something at the end of the game. I want if he gets the...
Well, maybe we can get a message to him, Tane, down the sheds that Tony Squires, the great Dragons supporter, wants you to come up with something today.
If he gets the Clive Churchill Medal, surely as he's having his acceptance speech, he says, you know, thank you, good night. You know, he does the send-off. I'm out of here. Isn't that what we want? We want closure on this anecdote.
Well, if they win, he's the captain. They're going to lift him up anyway.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
So everyone's going to speculate that he's retired anyway.
That's absolutely true. But you believe that the Storm will be too good this evening?
Oh, I think so. It's funny. The thing that worries me is I've spoken to a lot of people this week. And
Sorry to interrupt. Here, do you see the lights of the goalpost light up green?
That's impressive, isn't it?
Yeah. You like that idea?
I like that, yeah.
This is as the Broncos have just gone in to score, again, 20 points to 10 over the Roosters. I think it's about 15.5 minutes.
It'd be a great social experiment, Tony, wouldn't it, to ask one of the girls at the end of the game whether or not they even noticed if those goalposts lit up or not.
Do they light up red if there's a video referee decision that's no try? No,
well, that's a good point. We'll have to watch as that unfolds during the evening. At the moment, I've only seen all green lights as the rain does come tumbling down here at ANZ Stadium. The Broncos 20 lead the Roosters 10. Matt Guy, of course, a premiership with the Melbourne Storm. He will join us next.
Marine Hot Water. Triple M Rocks Footy. Marine Hot Water. Triple M Rocks Footy.
Triple M, NRL, classic grand final moment. 1997, Newcastle with their first grand final.
There's 20 seconds on the clock. Albert, he will play it. 21 metres away. Down the blind, Andrew John. Inside for Albert. Albert will score. Albert will score. Newcastle have won the grand final.
One of the great finishes to a grand final, 1997. What is in store for us tonight right here at ANZ Stadium as the Panthers take on the Melbourne Storm? Time to talk with a man from the Storm. He's a premiership player. He's one of the good guys. He is Matt Guy. G'day, Matt.
Hey, Tony. How are you going, mate?
Very, very well. Thank you. How's the beautiful Gold Coast?
Well, if you watched the AFL grand final last night, it's pretty similar to that at the moment. But, Queensland's not so beautiful. One day perfect, the next at the moment. But it's not too bad.
And how are you feeling about what's in store this evening? Are you confident that those boys from Melbourne get the job done?
Oh, yeah. You wonder if it's your heart or your head at a time like this. Obviously, it's been a great week for the boys and everyone's celebrating. Obviously, the Panthers, the fairy tale, it's 17 wins, can it be 18? And plus, they've such a young and exuberant team. But the Storm have been there before and done it many times recently. So, yeah, it's a great matchup. Two really entertaining teams, but I'm confident. I'm a bit of a pessimist at times like this. You know, you look for everything that can go wrong rather than what can go right. But yeah, hopefully the boys can get the job done.
Yeah, but Matty, being a Panthers junior, yeah, it must be a little bit hard for you come up against your old club, obviously, and your loyalties with the Storm. But you know, your bloodlines run all Penrith, and they've done a great job to get here, mate. So I guess for you, in a sense, you know, you both sides win, you get a little bit of joy either way.
Oh, you're good. I did grow up being a Penrith supporter, and I've got a lot of family and a lot of friends. You know, they've been giving it to me through the week. You're sending me plenty of messages about the Panthers. So if the Panthers were to win, obviously I'd be really happy for my family that support them and all my friends. But certainly no divided loyalties, mate. I was adopted by the Victorian state I guess, 1997, and never really looked back. And they gave me a fantastic, you know, career and such great memories. But I compare that to Penrith cutting me as a 19-year-old. It's pretty easy to work out where I want to go with this one.
But that had something to do with your older brother. They thought, we've got one, we're not bringing another one in.
Yeah, I think it might have been Guy. Nah. No, I can't let MG hang that one. But he did get me a start over in Perth and all again, so, yeah.
Matty, do you have anything to do with rugby league now, mate? Ever with any clubs or any junior footy?
Yeah, I've got a heap. Yeah, I was in 2008. I was on my trip away in Cancun, and the missus messaged me and told me I was coaching the Crumbin Eagles under 10s. I went, oh, no.
You've followed them all the way through, have you?
Yeah, I have, yeah. Last 12 years I've coached, and I've coached two teams most of the time as well. And, yeah, I love the club, and I coach it. I'm a teacher at Marymount College as well, so I really enjoy coaching junior footy. And as they've gotten older, I've obviously coached some older ages and, and had some varying success with that, but really enjoy connecting with kids in the community and trying to make them better young men.
Hey, Matty, is that the college that Cameron Smith's kids are enrolled in next year?
Yeah, it is good, yeah. They came up mid-season trying to get out of the Victorian situation, and it was all decided in a couple of days, and they were really in limbo, so... Yeah, I tried to help something out there, and obviously I don't have any other influence over any other school. So, being a Catholic college, they were always willing to help a family who was really in dire straits at the time. So, yeah, they're currently, I guess, harboured there at Marymount in the primary school until next year.
Matty Gerds has raised the Cam Smith question. I've got to ask you, your best mates, I think he used to live with you at one point. Give us a prediction on his future. What's he doing?
Yeah, mate, I've tossed and turned with over the last few months, you know, as the report. I must say, at the moment, I'm probably thinking that he's not going to play next year, and probably a week ago I thought he was going to play. But I must also admit that I thought this week's been pretty disappointed in some of the sort of trash journalism directed at Cam. You know, like, for someone who's been such a great ornament to our game, you know, I'm a big Fox Sports fan, and I watched a lot of their I've got them tagged number one on my website addresses, and to see some of their journos attack him, I think there's been about five or six negative articles on Cam this week, and when one of them called him a sociopath this week, I thought that was a bit, you know, going too far. Like, with one of the, you know, the man that holds the records for holding the most records in our game, you know, to come out and, mate, it might be his last week. It might be his last week already, and I think we should have been celebrating him. And there's so much positive to report on this week, you know, like with the Panthers, their story, like, as much as I'm going for the Storm, like, you know, the Panthers is a great story, and the Storm boys living out of home for 6 months, you know, and doing their best, and that none of that's been mentioned, and it's all been sort of real negative around Cam, so that's annoyed me quite a bit, and not being so isolated, you don't get to say your piece, but I just think it's been a bit of trash journalism for some people.
Matty, tell us about the Cam Smith you know.
Mate, he's a champion fella, and he's so selfless, you know, and to hear the word sociopath really annoyed me. That's why you can see I've got a bit of passion about it. Like, he's a fella that, in my opinion, has taken the backseat, because he's damned if he do and damned if he don't, mate, because if he announced that he's retiring today, you know, it's all the Cam Smith show. Like, you saw Gary Ablett last night. You know, everyone was talking, every moment, every second opinion was, oh, the little master, his last game. And that's the whole reason Cam wouldn't be saying anything. And if he is going to play on, well, then there's no use making an announcement anyway. Oh, yeah, I'm playing next year. You know? So, and, you know, he's always been that old soul and that real about the team rather than himself. And that's probably why we got along so well. Like, he was 19 and I was about, you know, 26, 27 when we first become really good mates, and we got similar natures, and so probably well, we resonated with each other so much. But I did feel like there was a lot of personal attacks on him through the week, and I just thought, you know, whatever it is, if you just seemed a real anti, not even anti Melbourne, it seemed a real anti Cameron Smith sentiment, and I was like, maybe I'm just reading the wrong news, maybe I need to resubscribe to a different website or something. But
Don't do that, Matty. Don't do that. That's my employer.
but Matty, it's a really unfortunate situation, isn't it, with Cam, I find, this year anyway, because mentally and physically, it looks like he could play on for another couple of years. Now, it seems like, through no fault of his own, that he's been forced into a decision for the betterment of the club to make a call on his future when the guy's had 19 years and we all know what he's done within the game. He should be, you know, left to his own devices to make the decision when he is ready. But the fact that there's this kid underneath him, or a couple of guys underneath him, that it just could be, you know, the next generation coming through. Now, we've seen, you know, what Pappenhausen's done at the fullback. Every time they lose one of these superstars, the Melbourne Storm, through their system and through how well organised they are, they bring someone through that can come on and replace that guy. And it's incredible the way they've done that. Now, it looks like they potentially have that guy within Harry Grant. And now it's sort of forced Cameron into a corner where I get the feeling he probably would play again, but he wants to do the thing that you're talking about and be selfless and do what's right for the club, and probably feels like he needs to retire.
Yeah, mate. Yeah, exactly. All I've probably got to say at the end of that is exactly right. You know, who would have thought over the last 19 or last sort of 15 years that some situation could have emerged where Cameron Smith may be driven from the Melbourne Storm, and you're right, it could be a reality, and that's what we saw. Harry Grant leading the Dally M this year, and you know how valuable Brandon Smith would be to any team. So the fact that, you know, if Cam stays, they may leave. That's a reality, and that's a decision that Cam has to make, and I think it's a decision that I would support, that he, you know, after tonight, that he goes away and spends 2 weeks with his family and decides really what he wants to do and consults them and works out what his career. But for me, it's really difficult, because when I, like, again, most of us, when not so much you, Gerd, you were playing good footy right to the end. If I played another year of footy, I would have been really fighting to keep my spot in the team the next season. I would have been in and out of reserve grade probably. If he's 37, if they picked an Australian team tomorrow, he'd be captain. Yeah. So that's a really hard one. You know, it's ridiculous to think that someone maybe 40-year-old and be one of the best in the competition still.
Matty, being as close to Smithy as you are and playing with him and knowing him well, could you have imagined that when Smithy hit 30, that at 37 he could still play 80 minutes a week and be arguably the best player in the game? Did you honestly think that at that stage he could still do it? I mean, I never thought we'd ever see anyone at 37 that could play that much footy be that good at his age. I could imagine people playing that long but not being as good as he is for that long. And, like, he doesn't even look tired on the field. He still doesn't even look tired.
Mate, you know, Brandon, it's short answer, no, Brandon. Like, it's amazing. It's like, I remember when I retired I had 6 years underbelly ache. And so maybe you needed to ring someone else for today, because what I'm about to say to you might make you laugh a bit. For an expert opinion, is when I retired in 08, I'd had 6 pre-seasons under belly ache, is what I'm referring to. And I was saying, because those boys had 6 pre-seasons as well, so I'm talking about the Billies, the Coopers, the Hoffies, Dowles, and Cam. And I'm like, I feel, you know, these boys need to do something because they're not going to last.
So you're a good judge there, Matty.
Like I said, Gerd, maybe you should have called someone else today. But you can't. If anyone says they could see it, they're kidding themselves. Like, to be 30, and you've got a better perspective than anyone, Brownie, you know, to think, you know, me and Gerd, we're just a couple of good sorts, or one of us was out in the outback doing our best. But being in the middle, you know, playing 80 minutes, having those big units run at you time in, time out, and being able to manage that and then still have an impact on the game, or more than an impact on the game, and actually to control the game and be 37. When we had an old boys weekend about 6 weeks ago, again, when they played the Cowboys up in Sunny Coast, and I made a point of it just to watch him for like 5 or 10 minutes, just watch him and see how. And, mate, it was amazing how efficient he is. You know, like, you know, they used to have that Telstra tracker and they'd put it on a player and they go, oh, look how amazing how much yards he covers and this and that. I reckon you'd be amazed at how little ground Cam covers, but he still covers all the ground. You know what I mean? He knows the fastest way to every spot. And you look at that chase he did on Kotrick a couple of weeks ago. And, like, I coached the grand final. That was last week. I took a screenshot of that tackle and posted it to my under-20s kids, my team, and said, look, this is an image at the end of the slowest man on the footy field catching the fastest man. I said, and the only reason he did was because he wanted to. You know, and that's the only reason he gets. It's because he's so competitive. He's got an insatiable appetite for competition. And he had no right to be there, but he got there.
That's great insight, Matty. Tell us a little bit about that relationship between Bellyache and Cam.
Yeah, oh, mate. Yeah, that's. I think it's a coaching player relationship that everyone would envy. Like, I think, and I did have a bit of a joke. I said, "There's two father son combinations going into the game today." You know, I don't mean that insult Wayne Smith at all, because Wayne Smith's had a big part on Cam's career, but they're that tight. Like, you know, I know the footage emerged the other day of Cam. Punk and Bellyache when he was changing a tie. Like, Bellyache's like, I'm changing a tie, what do you reckon I'm doing? I said, you know, he's giving him some of the worst nicknames that you could ever hope, but, you know, only Cam could get away with that. And that's, I think that only comes with the mutual respect that they have for each other. Over the years, they've both seen how hard the other one work, and they get along really well too. Actually, it's probably more like the odd couple, but yeah, they do get along really well, and the ultimate respect, I think, is where it all starts.
Matty Geyer, it's been a weird year, obviously, for everybody, every club. There's hubs, there's bubbles, there's all sorts going on. Now, it's not a terrible thing to be on the Sunshine Coast, but from your conversations with Cam and others, how have they coped being away from Melbourne, especially with what's going on there in terms of relating to the city that they represent?
Oh, yeah, I think it's a big part for the boys is that they almost feel guilty about being in the Sunshine, because, you know, they can see what all the people down in their home state, the way they're coping, and they're just copying it. You know, it looks like their restrictions are going to be put back another week now.
Yep.
So that's another heartache for them. And you know, but then they're doing their best. I know it puts a lot of strain on family. You know, like each one of the players there with a family. You know, wife and children, and you know, it's isolating them quite a bit. Yeah, and I guess even people just on their own, you know, like, you know, you've been on tours and camps, you know, you can only put up with so many annoying teammates for so long, and so I that's what I mean. I don't want to begin to compare the sacrifices that the New Zealand Warriors made compared to what the Storm boys are doing, but it just seems that because the boys have been so successful for so long and they're successful again, that everyone's forgetting like what they've actually gone through. You know, they were going to leave home. And be in Albury for, they thought, maybe 2 or 3 weeks. And in the end, they kept going up the highway and ended up in Sunny Coast for another, you know, few months. And so, you know, that really destabilises families as well. And to be able to be so successful and so clinical on the game day is just, again, a testament to the big dog up, you know, the man up top, Bellyache, and the players under Cam.
The Warriors are second team now.
Yeah.
Matty, I take it, eh?
I actually, maybe third. The Titans are my second team at the moment.
Oh, come on, Matty, come on.
Just to interrupt you then, Maguire. The NRLW Grand Final has just finished. 20-10, the Broncos have beaten the Roosters. That makes it 3 in succession for the Broncos. The three-peat that the Roosters couldn't get in the NRL this year, the Broncos women have done the job. Ready?
Matty, you said your 20s were in the Grand Final. Have they played yet?
Yeah, they won. Yeah, we had a really good weekend last weekend, Ready. We That was our third year in a row of having the win for that age group. So that was pretty. And we're only a small club, Crum and Eagles. We're really punching above our weight. But we had the under 18s, under 20s reserve grade, all won the comp this year. So we couldn't quite get the four of them with the A grade. But for a little club like that up on the Gold Coast, which has some powerhouse clubs, you know, it was a really good day to be a Crum and Eagles last Saturday. And the boys got to play at Seabus Stadium too, which was fantastic of the Titans and the junior district and Seabus Stadium to really work hard to give those boys that experience and those memories. So we we'll see a big red army out there on last Saturday, and it was a good night last Saturday. I'm still recovering.
You've had a bit to do with Tommy Deard and Xavier Coates, is that right?
Yeah.
Have you got another one coming through? You got another name for us or young kid to look out for?
Cole Guyatt, no. my young fella's working hard. He's trying to get a game. But he actually played A grade this year as a 19-year-old, and he had a really good year. He's doing his best. He plays it. Funny enough, he had Cameron Smith as a babysitter as a kid. Now he's playing hooker. So I'm like, I wonder why he liked him more than his old man when he was growing up. Kent's home a few Queensland beanies every now and then. He supports the Queenslanders now too, so I'm not happy about that.
That's what I was going to say, Matty. How's a boy from the West who goes to Melbourne end up at the Gold Coast?
So I'm a mad surfer, good, you know that.
I was going to say, you're well known out at Snapper these days, are you?
We holidayed up here when we were in Melbourne, and we just had a ball and thought it'd be a great place to raise the family. And then in the interim, like the in-laws all came up here as well, so I made a decision, which was probably going to be a tough decision because we're going to be up here by ourselves. That made it a little bit easier, and then, never look back. We're in Palm Beach at the moment, and, just the lifestyle and obviously the climate helps, but just it's more the lifestyle. You know, it's a bit of a relaxed lifestyle, and it's probably going to become a lot more of a destination over the next few years, I suppose, especially with COVID. You know, there's a lot of people looking to relocate because of the way the state's handled the situation. But, no, certainly not a surfer, mate. I can barely swim. I used to be in the lane with Antonio Cafusi when we used to do the warm downs and stuff, and I still couldn't do a lap.
Matty Guyer, absolute joy and pleasure to talk with you. It's been a great treat. Good luck. Enjoy yourself tonight watching the Storm go around against the Panthers.
My pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me, hey?
There, Matty.
There is Matty Guyer. Terrific. Just again, looking at the Tyre Power scoreboard, the NRLW Grand Final. The Broncos 20 have defeated the Roosters 10. The presentation ceremony just about to get underway. This is the Sunday Sin Bin. We do it for Bryden's Lawyers.
Thanks to McDonald's. Triple M rocks footy. Thanks to McDonald's. Triple M rocks footy. A Triple M NRL classic grand final moment. 2014, the Greg Inglis Goanna try, South Sydney Rabbitohs.
Here's Horosau, he throws it left now to Sutton. Sutton away now to Carey. Carey beats one, beats another. Inside ball, here's Inglis, he takes off, hits the air. Oh! Inglis gets another grand final try. There's the Goanna, wow. And that is a way to start the celebration.
The voice of Dan Ganani is behind us in the commentary box doing a bit of red leather, yellow leather, red leather. I see I can't do it. Warming those vocal cords up for the call, which is coming your way right here in Triple. There is some hot lemon drink. Matt Guyer, he's seriously upset with Cam Smith, isn't he?
Well, they are best mates. I mean, the two of them are very tight. And, you know, Cam's obviously going to move to the Gold Coast, I think, next year or at the end of this season. We all expect him to move up there at some point. And his kids are going to school with Matty Guyer's kids. They're very close. So I can understand why he's upset, because there's been some stuff written this week about Cam. I tend to agree with him that some of it's been, I find it a bit disrespectful. I mean, he's arguably the greatest player we've ever seen.
Indeed, and I want closure on the anecdote, Brownie. I want him to come out tonight if he's retiring and say it in front of us so we can actually give him a bit of a cheer. Yeah, given that we are here at ANZ Stadium. It is time now, though, for this.
Believe it or not.
Yeah, just a couple of questions for you. Statements, you tell me whether you believe it or not and why. Earlier in the week, it happened, the Dally M medal. Jack Whiten, here is it. Believe it or not, Jack Whiten was a deserving winner of the Dally M medal. Ryan Girdler?
Yeah, I believe that he was, Tony, and people are going to say it's a flawed system. But when you have a think about it, I think in years gone, players that get suspended, Reedy, and you can tell me whether this is correct or not, players that get suspended are then out of the running. Is that correct? They're not allowed to miss a game. They can miss games through injury, but through suspension, if they're if they're found guilty at the judiciary, I think it's only once,
and then if it's twice, you are.
And then they took points off you for memory. If you miss weeks, you lose points.
I'm saying that because we know that he had that incident where they originally took the 6 points away. Now, they gave those back, but he missed two games, didn't he, through suspension. So I'm thinking if he plays those two games, he probably polls a couple of points, and then he probably wins the title. So he missed those points through no fault other than, you know, no one to blame but himself. Therefore, you can probably think back now and think that it probably contributed to him not winning the award. So congratulations to Jack. And lesson learned, but it's always a fantastic year.
There's always a player like, I mean, Caelan Ponga in his first year would have won it, but he missed 4 weeks with injury. He got beat by a point by RTS. You know, there's always the story of someone being suspended, injured in there.
Yep. Yeah.
Ricky Stewart, of course, did also rest Jack White in the last round.
He's a good player, and he's got Clive Churchill last year. Did Jack get the Clive Churchill?
He did.
And he's backed it up with a Dalim. He's a good player, isn't he?
Yep. Great player.
I believe it. Yeah, I'm with these guys on it. I think if Cleary doesn't miss those two games, I reckon he wins the Dalim, no doubt about it. And Jack had a great year.
Cameron Smith had four games off.
Exactly. And the other issue...
He could have got me in the match in every one of those games.
The other issue for Nathan Cleary is the last 6 weeks, I think, Jerome Luai polled 11 points, so he took points off him as well. So Jerome was the best player in the last 2 months. So I'm not going to argue with it.
All right, there's a believe it or not that, Reed, you may be able to explain just briefly. The believe it or not is James Roberts should be signed by an NRL club. What's the situation with James Roberts?
Well, I reckon potentially next week, James Roberts and South will part ways. And then, look, I don't know what happens with James Roberts. I think... There's a bit of a smell around James at the moment that, you know, if you sign him, you're taking a risk. So I'm not sure if he'll find another club. I mean, we're talking off air. I mean, at the right price, maybe someone will take him, but I think he's going to find it hard.
James Roberts should be signed by another club?
Look, it probably depends. Where's Jimmy most comfortable living? You know, he's obviously had some things away from the field which at times have taken him away from rugby league. So where's somewhere that would best suit him for his away from the field life and a club with very strong leadership? You know, is there a club out there with really strong leadership? Because, you know, Jimmy obviously needs to be around a club like that, you know. So would a club like Melbourne Storm, who's out of the way and has got great leadership in their club, would that be a good
club? Do the Warriors need a centre, Brownie?
I think that would be a great option for him, going to a club like the Melbourne Storm or like the Roosters that have that leadership around. But it's just whether or not, you know, their recruitment and the way they go about their business, they bring someone like that into the organisation. If Wayne Bennett's obviously was a little bit of a last chance saloon, wasn't he, with the fact that he'd already been to half a dozen clubs or so and in and out of different teams and different environments with representatives. So, look, hopefully, you know, someone picks him up. He's a great talent, but, yeah, he's got to make sure that he, repays them.
All right, we're about to see him in the pressure cooker of a grand final. The believe it or not is Nathan Cleary can become the best halfback of all time. That's a big statement, Brownie.
Wow. Oh, yeah, that's a big one, that one. There's been some very, very good ones around the traps, and I made my point last night. I'm not a believer of the best of all time, but could he become the best of this next 10 years? I'd say that certainly is a possibility, you know, this next generation. You know, he's obviously 22. He's already played in winning Origin series, and... now he's obviously playing in his first grand final, and one would think, you know, if Penrith keep being run the way they are with that centre of excellence they've got in place with such a big nursery, and if they can generally keep the core group of their players together at Penrith, and Nathan being a halfback being one of them, Jerome Luai being a 5'8", being another important player for him, you know, there's no reason why over the course of the next period of time where Penrith can't continue to be successful. So I'm not going to go best of all time because I don't believe in that, but he certainly could be the best of the next sort of generation of the next 10 years.
All right, I believe it. I think you've done beautifully in Believe It or Not. We'll come back and look at this game ahead. The grand final is the Panthers and the Melbourne Storm as Triple M rocks the grand final.
For McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy. For McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
The NRLW presentation is over as the rain still tumbles down. The Broncos back to back premiers. Absolutely sensational performance From Ali Brigginshaw and her team, the Broncos, three in a row. I'm just looking at, as Mark Geyer arrives at the commentary box, Wendell Saylor, for the with Danganane and you, Gerd. So we've got Gerds and we've got MG. So, bizarrely, Wendell's going to be the voice of reason, would you think, in this commentary box this evening.
and what about you got MG, played in the winning grand final for Penrith in, was that 91?
91.
And then you got Gerds, who played in the next time Penrith won a grand final. And what was your year, Gerds?
03.
03. And Penrith are playing tonight.
Absolutely.
That's one of those omens you've been talking about.
It's all there, Brownie. It's all there.
Each of those teams were minor premiers and went on to win the premiership proper. Do you actually do see those similarities?
Well, I sort of didn't. Everyone tries to compare the sides. But, yeah, there's just some uncanny things that that took place in 03 that are very similar to now with some of the personnel in the side, the father-son thing, the minor premiership, and then, you know, the overcast, the wet conditions. Someone was telling me, Arthur from ANZ was telling me the other day that the last wet grand final was the 03 grand final, and obviously the forecast were here
screams.
As well. So, I don't know, was SARS around in 03? I don't know, but anyway, there are some similarities. And
the coronavirus is about, we just didn't know it.
We were the underdogs too. We were heavily, you know, Roosters were heavily favoured to go out and do something in that one, and we got the job done. So, yeah, similar stories.
30 seconds, Nathan Brown. What do the Penrith Panthers have to do to get this job done tonight? Is it about a fast start?
They'll need to be physically very, very good. Because, you know, the two grand finals that Melbourne have lost of late, the physical part of the game, sides really, really challenged them. And the Cronulla's was probably they matched them really well. And definitely the Roosters certainly got on top the year. The Roosters won well in the first sort of 25, 30 minutes of the exchanges. And then the way, you know, where Nathan Cleary can leave the ball, if they can try and get Melbourne stuck in the corner and have to make those big men move a long way back, they're probably the two things I'd say, given their best
That's chance. In front of us right now. It's Triple M rocks the grand final.
Thanks to Ream Hot Water. Triple M rocks footy. Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.